All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everybody. Happy game day.
Welcome to Better Than Never.
Shit.
I'm not actually inside a women's prison at the moment.
The horniest went up to like 11.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I say a big fuck you to Nick.
Tyler Yaremchuk must go to Cinco de Mayo.
Ty,
why won't you kiss me?
Better late than never.
Better late than never.
Better late than never.
Better late than never.
Don't agree.
Long live Arby's. Long live Arby's indeed. Happy game day, everybody. It is elimination day in the City of Champions. It's 4:42 as I'm recording here. In 3 hours and change, the Edmonton Oilers are taking off the Los Angeles Kings in game five, looking to put themselves through to the second round. Currently up 3-1. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about my trip to LA. We're going to talk about all kinds of things. First, I got to tell you about the audio department works to create a safe space for creativity and collaboration for artists and musicians to realize their potential and share their message through sound and story. Theaudiodepartment.ca. That's where you need to go to record a podcast just like this one that probably sounds a whole lot better than this one. Listen, they helped me from afar. They're like, Bag Milk, this is what you got to do. Make it a little better. And I try and follow their advice. But if you go there, crystal clear. Always. Where to start? Well, I think I'll just might as well start with a quick LA trip recap. If you listen to Real Life, we probably talked about it a lot from when we were down in LA. A little bit on Oilers Nation Radio yesterday, but I just want to talk about how great of a trip it was. We flew down on Thursday night, got there around to the hotel, probably checked in around 9:30, 10. We were staying at the Residence Inn, right across the street from LA Live, so we were right in the mix, although if you've never been to downtown Los Angeles, it's kind of, at least on the weekend, outside of LA Live, there's not as much as you would expect to do. And I don't mean that to be disparaging, because obviously Los Angeles is a world-class city, or at least they tell you it is. It's just that downtown, at least, there's a lot of just like office space, huge buildings. And when we were walking around on Sunday before game four, looking for a place to eat in the like central district, if you want to call it that, there was not a whole lot of options. I mean, at LA Live, there's the options there. There's a handful of pubs and there's Shake Shack and there's some of that kind of stuff. So we could always go there. But in terms of other options, like on the other side from LA Live, if you walk down Figueroa, there was just not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot. So it was kind of interesting. It was weird. We kind of went on a couple adventures on the Thursday night when we got there. Didn't do a whole lot. Popped over to LA Live, had something to eat, something to drink, went back to the hotel. Just kind of got set up for the next day's activity. So we were in the rack pretty early. On Friday, it was a busy, busy day. Busy day. From the moment we woke up, we started working on content. I was writing articles for the website. I was handling the GDB that day. Tyler and Liam had their live show to do. So we did that. And then when all that was complete, we ran down to First Draft in LA, in downtown Los Angeles. So essentially this was, I can't remember what that bar's called now. Fuck. It was just on my head before I started recording. I'm sure I'm going to remember it during the voicemail or something. But it was one of those bars where you essentially buy a card, or you put your credit card down and get a card. And then there's a whole wall of beer taps. And you just go pour your own adventure. We were trying to get Tyler to do swamp water in a sense, like, you know what I mean? You've had swamp water like from pop machines, but probably never from beer dispensers. It would have been disgusting. And I'm not surprised Tyler never agreed to our shenanigans nor our deal, but it was worth it. Worth trying. At the very least, it was worth trying. I probably only made it about half the wall over the course of the 2 days that we were there. Maybe half the wall, probably a little less. But either way, they were super, super cool. It was probably about 2-3 blocks away from Crypto.com Arena. So we walked there. The first day we showed up and it was an empty bar when we got there because we were setting up and we got there super early. We didn't really know what to expect, right? So when we're doing these shows down in other cities that is not Edmonton, we don't really know what to expect. We're flying the flare on social media. We were saying, hey, come join us. This is what time it starts, 5:30 p.m. local. Be there. Join us. Join us. Join us. But we weren't sure. So when we walked in originally, it was just us. And we kind of went, oh boy. Well, we're early. We have 90 minutes before showtime started. And we were hoping it would fill up. And as always, you fantastic human beings, you came through in the clutch and you filled that place. Not once, but twice. And it was just a lot of fun to see that many people coming to join us to watch the live shows, and we were having guests on the shows, and we were letting people have their say on the show, and it was really, really fascinating to just kind of get some of that feedback from other nation citizens who were down there. So on Friday, we did that. We obviously went to the game. The Oilers absolutely stomped the Kings, 6-1 win. We all end up at the JW Marriott, which is the hotel right outside the arena, more or less, in the lobby bar, having some of the most ridiculously expensive drinks I can remember. At one point, I bought a round of shots because I'm like, it is time for tequila. Tequila waits for no man. If you know me at all, when old Bag Milk is ready to party, tequila is my sunshine. Now, what I didn't expect, though, necessarily, is to order 5 shots. There was the 4 of us, of course, and we made a friend. So I was just like, oh, I will include you, new friend. It was $115 US, sans tip. Sans tip. It was shocking. So when I got home on Monday and I started kind of working through my books on Tuesday, I could almost see some of my levels of regret as I was working through my credit card bill. So that shot, or 5 shots, I guess, at the J-Dub at probably, I don't know, 1 in the morning, cost me close to, I don't know, what's $112 US and Canadian? That's got to be like $150-something dollars, right? It was just like, huh?
That's what you get. Satan told you not to drink down in Los Angeles. The Canadian exchange rate is really bad, and I know you want to talk about that in the Righteous Sack game, but Satan tried to warn you. How much were the beers when you were down there?
Well, which beers are you talking about? Like at the bar or at the game?
At the game, of course. Like if you went down to Los Angeles and you wanted to have a beer in the stands, just a normal tall boy at Bud Light, what are we talking?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Satan. It was $33 Canadian for a single beer. A tall boy, but still $33 Canadian. $33 Canadian. I was not happy about it. It was one of those things where you do it and you kind of block it out of your mind. So essentially, I blocked, you know, I'm sure you've heard all the girl math videos that go around on social media. Well, Bag Milk math was, these are all free until I get home on Tuesday. I will deal with it then. And I got home on Monday night, but I didn't check anything until Tuesday. I was just like, I will deal with this Tuesday. And coincidentally, loosely related, subscribe to my OnlyFans. It is going to be a lot of videos of me doing doing things around the city, finding friends, making sweet love to them. And you could subscribe for $200 a month. And no, I'm not in any of the videos. I just break into people's homes and I record them and I put it on the internet against their will. Sure, that's illegal, isn't it? Or is it legal? I make them sign a waiver, NDA, that kind of thing. I don't actually do any of this, lest anyone believe that I was actually being truthful. On Saturday, the off day, we knocked out our work in the morning, got a bunch of stuff done first thing in the morning, and then we made our way to the West Drift Hotel, which is where Tyler, Jay, and I actually stayed last year when we went to Los Angeles. They have a par 3 course outside of the hotel that is absolutely beautiful. It's interesting that you go, Begnook, why is there a par 3 course in Los Angeles near Manhattan Beach? Surely that doesn't make any sense with how the land is laid out and how expensive everything is. And you would absolutely be right until we found out that that whole course is like a, what is it called? Like a drainage ditch, ravine kind of thing. So there are large chunks of the season or year when it rains or when it, you know, they have their storms where that entire golf course is submerged underwater. And I was talking to the groundskeeper before we were just waiting to tee off. There's a couple of groups ahead of us. So I was just chatting with them and I said, how often is it underwater? And he said, this past winter, the golf course was underwater for probably 3-4 weeks at a time. They had a huge, huge hit of rain, which was almost unseasonal. And it was underwater and it was cool. If you're ever in Los Angeles and you're staying down by Manhattan Beach, please stay at the West Drift Hotel. First of all, you walk in, smells fantastic. Two, the food is fantastic. Three, mini bar, lobby bar. Lobby bar, I should say, not mini bar. Lobby bar is really, really cool. They make nice little cocktails. And then the pickleball courts and the par 3 golf course, it's exactly what everyone needs. The problem, of course, that we had is we did our one round and then we went to hang out at Manhattan Beach and just kind of soak up our zen, just be zen on the beach and watch the surfers and watch the waves roll in. And that was really, really calming and relaxing. And we just kind of chatted and bullshitted and got discussed some biz while we were down there. And then Tyler and Jay challenged each other to another bet. And this time they said, let's do another round of 9. Because the golf course is only 9 holes. Let's do another round of 9 holes. And this time, match play. Whoever wins gets a Dylan Holloway jersey from the other. So I was excited. I'm terrible at golf. So this all was, I was more like on the side chirping, like poking. Satan, will you do me a favor and do it for me?
Hey, Jay, I bet you can't beat Tyler right now. Like, do you think you could actually beat him and get a Holloway jersey? Like, why wouldn't you make Tyler buy you a Holloway jersey?
Quads, will you beat Tyler in the scenario?
I think I can beat you, Jay. I think you're gonna owe me a Holloway jersey. I beat you the first round that we played at the West Drift Hotel, and now I'm ready for another round against you in when I'll Cadillac at Jersey.
The funny thing was, is at first they were like, oh, I'll bet you $50. And then it just kind of escalated. And then Tyler threw out the idea of a Dylan Holloway jersey because they were both talking about over the course of the weekend that they wanted one. So I jumped in and went,
absolutely, that's the bet. It's a Dylan Holloway jersey. Whoever wins the match play in this round of 9, you get the other person to buy you a crispy white Holloway jersey. And old Bag Milk will document the whole thing for the nation. It's going to be great and everybody will love it.
So we go back there. Tyler's a lefty, by the way. That is important for the context of this story. We go back to the West Drift Hotel, going to go to a second round of golf. All the lefty clubs were gone. We offered to pay the people that had one set of lefty clubs. Groundskeeper effectively kicked Tyler off the course. And unfortunately, now we're going to have to wait for that bet to happen. So we'll see where we end up. Hopefully, the Edmonton Oilers close things out tonight. Job's not finished if you're thinking this is done. Job is not finished. Hopefully, the Oilers can close it out tonight. And maybe we can resume this bet in round 2, wherever we end up. I'm not looking ahead, of course, because tonight, May 1st, is Game 5 at Rogers Place. There's a lot of stuff that we need to get through first before we can start thinking about Round 2, and that is a big win here tonight on home ice in Game 5. The other thing I want to mention that I didn't know until we went to Los Angeles is that my boy Liam is constantly eating. We would have lunch, literally leave wherever we were at for lunch, sometimes it was just like, hey, I got a sandwich at the grocery store or whatever. And we would finish what we were doing. And before we were even 15, 20 steps away from where we just were, Liam went,
"You think there's anywhere we can grab some snacks?"
I just didn't see it coming. Didn't see him coming, because at the office, he's not a grazer like this. But his meals were frequent, and his fried chicken dinner, his love of fried chicken dinner, was on high alert. I also want to give a shout out to Banjo Guy from our time in Los Angeles. We spent a bunch of time with Banjo Guy, and if you don't know him at all, he is a really, really nice dude. So Banjo Guy, if you're listening to this, really enjoyed our time together, brother. I'm glad that you were able to get into Crypto.com Arena. To give you some context, if you don't know who Banjo Guy is, number one, I don't believe you. Two, he dresses himself up in full garb. He paints his face entirely. Crypto would only let him paint half of it, or they wouldn't let him in. Ridiculous, but whatever. He also has these overalls that are covered in pins of all kind, of all types. There's Oilers pins, mostly Oilers pins, and there's like some Ben Stelter stuff on there. There's just NHL pins. There's a lot of stuff that people have given him and donated him. It is an intense thing to look at. And he goes, I go, how much do those weigh? Like, surely. So he goes, just grab the shoulder strap things. So I grabbed the shoulder strap things and I gave him a little lift. And he said, these are 35 pounds. They have to always go in his carry-on because it will never be able to go underneath. Or he just has a suitcase with just those pants in there. It was amazing. I didn't know he had blue and orange contacts in because I'd never been that close to him. He let us wear his like flashing LED glasses for a period. I don't know how he sees out of them because you can't. Banjo Guy's a really nice guy. So if you get a chance to stop and take a picture with him at any point, just tell him old Bag Milk says what's up. We had a good time with Banjo Guy down in LA, and just hearing his story about how much hassle he gets trying to go into opposing arenas was fascinating. In Los Angeles, they seem to give him different answers every game he's been down there. They seem to move the goalposts, and I just thought that was the weirdest thing. But we had Banjo Guy on the live show, the pre-game show on Friday. He was back with us at First Draft LA on Sunday, despite not being on the show. It was just a lot of fun to welcome a lot of people down there. Of course, it was a great time to have the Oilers cash in two wins down behind enemy lines. If you remember the last two seasons, that was not the case. When we went down there last year, if I'm doing this off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure Game 3 ended in an OT loss before they eventually won Game 4 in overtime. So to have them go down there and win both games in LA, come back home 3-1 with the opportunity to close tonight, fantastic. I want to thank everybody who came down to meet us down in LA. I want to thank everybody who came to just say hi. I want to thank the boys from Coronation. If you're listening to this, you guys were great. And rest assured, boys, I am never doing shots with you again. We met them on the concourse at Crypto.com Arena, and they recognized Tyler and Liam, because everybody does. And then they heard the voice or just kind of pieced it together that I am who I am. So they said, come have a drink with us. So we go and we get a drink in the line. They go, now it's time for shots. By the time I left Game 3, I was bamboozled. My brain and my body were not connecting as one. But you know what? That was the exact kind of vibe that Friday game was. A 6-1 shit stomping in an opposing arena. Fans left so early that it was basically cheering with just Oilers fans when the final buzzer sounded. It was electric. It was fantastic. And I cannot say anything other than Oilers fans are the best people alive. Also, after Game 3, I met Jane Carrick. If you do not know who Jane Carrick is, that is Edmonton Oilers fourth line center. Well, healthy scratch. Sam Carrick's mom, and she was awesome. In terms of being a kind, wonderful woman, she was it. We had a good chat about the trade. She gave me some back-end insights to what it was like. So essentially, she told me that the Oilers started fishing around in January and having some of the players on our team call some of the players on their team for some vibe checks on Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick, just to kind of see what kind of guys they are. Are they good dudes? Would they fit in the room? Are they hungry? Do they want to win? Hearing that kind of stuff from the mom of a player who was involved in that trade was just a lot of fun. And she's sending me a case of that sweet, sweet carob syrup to the office, and I cannot wait. I'm so excited. So, Sam Carrick, your mom is a wonderful woman. She was a lovely lady. No wonder you were raised to be a gentleman yourself, my friend, because that was just a great conversation. She was lovely. Lastly, I met a couple of guys down there and they just said, hey, big fan of BLTN. And I go, you don't actually listen to it. I don't believe you. And they go, oh yeah? If you could do us a huge favor and redo the intro to Semi-Charmed Life as I did a handful of episodes ago, they would be eternally grateful. So to the boys from Saskatoon, you're welcome. That's the wrong button. Satan, please.
I'm packed and I'm holding, I'm smiling, she living, she golden, she lives with me, she says she lives with me, oh Asian, her own motivation, she comes round and she goes down on me.
And I make a smile like a drug for you, do ever what you want to do coming over you.
Keep on smiling when we go through, one stop to the rhythm that divides you, and I speak to you like the lyric to the verse, chop another line like a coda with the curse.
Coming like a freak show takes the stage, we give them the games and play, she said.
I want something else to get me through this.
Semi-charmed kind of life. Baby, baby, I want something else.
I'm not listening when you say goodbye.
You're welcome, boys. It's not the only music that we're going to premiere, though, today. Oh, no, no. If you listened to last week's podcast, you know that Donkey Volley is now Musical Donkey. He sent in another song for this week's show. And while I get set for the news, get my sponsorship reads up in front of me for my friends at Star Mechanical, please enjoy the late serenade from our friend Donkey Volley.
Your ears are sexy. Even bag milk thinks isn't true. It's donkey singing.
Brought to you by Star Mechanical. Of course, Star Mechanical is one of Edmonton's biggest locally and operated plumbing and heating businesses. They've been working within the community for over 20 years, and many of the homes built right here in Edmonton over the last two decades have had their plumbing and heating systems installed by Star Mechanical. They offer 24/7 emergency services, and you can visit them at starmechanical.ca to schedule an appointment. Well, as I mentioned off the jump, it is game 5 tonight. I am excited. I'm very much looking forward to it. There is nothing better than watching the Oilers have the chance to eliminate the LA Kings.
Yeah!
And I am so excited that they get a chance to do it for a third straight year.
Let's go, baby!
To make it happen, we're going to need a little bit more from the forwards and the defensemen that we got on Sunday. Now, it was fun to be in the arena and watch the Oilers out-king the LA Kings, but I don't think that that's the approach that we want to take more often than not. I think we want to play their game. We think the Oilers just want to do their thing, and tonight at home, they will have the last change, they'll have the better matchups, but the way they defended in Game 4 was simply remarkable. The way they were just running and gunning with the Oilers in Game 5 just seems stupid. Yet tonight, or Game 3, I should say, yet tonight in Game 5, we should know that the fifth game, or I guess the fourth game, is the hardest one to win. We watched Vancouver screw it up last night, lost to Nashville. Now it's going back to Nashville for game six. We watched the Bruins screw it up last night. Now they're going back to Toronto for game six. The Hurricanes, however, they managed to get through. They put the Islanders out, and that is what the Oilers are looking to do tonight against the Kings back here at home. Connor McDavid, I'm guessing, is going to be a huge part of that result if it does happen. I personally believe it does, but I'm not getting ahead of myself.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Connor McDavid, through the first five games, has nine assists, Today's game five. Connor McDavid has nine assists through the first four games. If he gets one more assist, he will join Wayne Gretzky as the only other player to record 10 assists in a playoff series twice. McDavid had 10 assists versus the King in 2022. Gretzky, of course, did it four times, registering 10 assists twice, 13 once, and 14 once as well. 17 players have had 10 assists or more in a series at least once. Leon Draisaitl actually holds the NHL record in the playoffs with 15 assists in a single series. He had 15 helpers and 17 points in the Oilers' five-game series win over the Calgary Flames in 2022. These stats come from Jason Gregor's game notes today at OilersNation.com. I just thought it was fascinating. Leon Draisaitl has the record for most assists in a single series. 15. Awesome. I'm looking for the dynamic duo to be strong, composed, and mature tonight. I'm looking for them to put their balls on the line, and I'm looking forward to them leading the Oilers to victory. Of course, this isn't going to be easy. If anybody thinks that the Oilers are going to stomp the Kings tonight, I can't see it happening. Obviously, I hope it does. I really hope they do. I hope they walk onto that Rogers Place ice. They skate like demons. They stomp them into the ground. And we are chanting Rittich's name all night long because they're getting a shit stomping they deserve. Now, that's what I hope. That's what my heart tells me. But what my head says is this is probably going to be another tight one. The Kings know they're up against they're on the ropes. The Kings do not want to get eliminated for a third straight year. The Kings want to send this thing back to Los Angeles where, at least in game four, they were probably arguably the better team. Now, a lot of the shots that they got, it was 33 to 13. We all know it. Everybody knows that the Oilers got outshot. The LA Kings saw more pucks on net than the Oilers did, and that means the Oilers are no good. Bah! The reality is a lot of those 33 shots came from the perimeter. The Oilers did a very, very good job defensively, but now we need to get up the ice and moving the other way. Shoot on Dave Rittich. Big Save Dave is not that guy. Unless you appreciate the tweet from Wanya on the Oilers Nation account that said, Big Save Dave, meet Fuck You Stew, which we all thought was hilarious. We all had a good troll-a-lol, and I love that tweet from Wanya. I'm just saying that I think this is going to be a much, much tougher game than some folks let on, even though I do feel confident that the Oilers are going to be able to get the job done. But like Kobe said, there's nothing to be happy about yet. Job's not finished. By the way, outside of crypto.com, I got to look at my favorite statue of all time, which is the Dustin Brown statue. Again, if you haven't heard me tell this joke before, that statue looks like they Googled a guy named Dustin Brown. They're like, all right, we'll make a statue of this guy. And when it showed up, they go, I don't know if that's the Dustin Brown that played for the Kings, but well, we're here now. The funny part about it is that statue, the Dustin Brown statue, isn't really anywhere near the other statues they have outside of Crypto.com Arena. So they've got Wayne Gretzky out there. They've got Shaq out there. They've got Oscar De La Hoya out there. They've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They've got the new Kobe Bryant statue, which is absolutely beautiful. They did a great job, though. Me missus told me that they had to redo some stuff from some spelling errors on the side. Anyway, the Dustin Brown statue is nowhere near the other ones. I'm assuming that they probably want to put Kopitar and Doughty and some of those guys near that statue and make it like a King's Cup thing when they're done and retired. But for the moment, right now, that statue is all on its own, and I'm going to go out and publicly say it's because of how ugly it is. They don't want that ugly piece of shit anywhere near the Kobe statue or the Oscar De La Hoya or the Wayne Gretzky or the Shaq or all the other really, really well done statues they have in front of Crypto.com Arena. Woohoo! Anyway, Again, I made that all up. Don't take that as gospel, though. I am saying it as fact, even though I'm making it up. Got it? Good. You with me? Of course you are. The other thing I want to mention from down in LA was fans weren't nearly as spicy this year. I know we were a little bit, not nervous. Nervous isn't the right word to say it, but we were a little bit concerned, I guess, going down third year in a row going to LA. We're just like, what is the fan base going to be like? Because last year they were yelling in our faces just for wearing Oilers jerseys in the arena. This year they weren't like that really at all. We got chirped. A guy in a Dave Riddich jersey told me off, which I actually thought was probably one of the funnier things I've ever seen. Listen, if you're going to tell me off wearing a Dave Riddich jersey, you don't make good choices with your money. And quite frankly, that poor choice leads me to think that your chirps don't make any sense. The Kings fans were throwing Oilers cards in the urinal, like hockey cards, that is. Jay found one, a urinal with a Bill Ranford card in it. These dum-dums don't even understand that Bill Ranford worked. Worked. At least he was the goalie coach. And I think he might be the head of goaltending now. I think he might still work there. Either way, he did work for the Kings organization for a long time. There was also a Wayne Gretzky card in a urinal. I got a picture of that DM to me on Instagram. So they're not the brightest, most hockey savvy crew. I told Liam, we were flying down and we were sitting next to each other and he goes, what should I expect from being at crypto.com arena? I'm like, expect Kings fans to cheer at really weird times that aren't going to make sense to you. And he goes, what do you mean? I'm like, I can't even describe it. Just watch it happen. And the best way to describe it from this year in Los Angeles was there were times, at least a couple, there was this dude in front of us that you've all heard the shoot chant from the crowd in Edmonton. We've all heard it. Shoot. We love it. We hate it. Wherever you stand, I don't care. The point I was getting at was there was this one guy in LA that the Kings would pick up the puck in their own zone. We're talking about 200 feet from the Oilers net, and he would start yelling, shoot. So, I don't know. Did he know which team he was cheering for? I'm not sure. I'm still not sure. Either way, there was a lot of Oilers fans down in LA too. We had a lot of great high five sessions in game three. We actually had a whole row of Oilers fans in game four. There was a handful in the two rows behind us. We had a lot of fun with them, so shout out to everybody we met down in LA. But here tonight, we are looking to close it out, and we're going to need Stuart Skinner to hopefully not have to come up with another shutout. Be great if he did, but I think he's been fantastic through four games so far. A lot of people have gone, but Big Milk, he let in so many goals in the first two games. Well, here's what I would say about that. Three of the goals in game one, I'm not counting. Two bounced in off Oilers defenseman skates. Nothing Stu's going to do about that. The third one I'm not counting from game one was when Cody Ceci's stick blew up in his hand and he accidentally threw it into the slot. Those ones I'm not hanging on Stu. You'd like a miracle, maybe, on the Cody Ceci one that Stu can come back and save it, but like, let's not pretend those were his fault. Game two, he had a tough game. He came out and said he had to be better. In Los Angeles, in the two games in LA, he allowed only one goal. He faced a lot of shots in those two games and allowed only one goal.
One goal.
So if you were doubting Stu, come on, man. Be a little better than that. Be a little better than that, especially when you're down there. If you're with us and you're spending $33 beer, come on, man. The other thing that happened was Corey Perry played in his 200th NHL playoff game. 200 NHL games in the playoffs. That is 2.5 seasons extra hockey that he's played in the playoffs. It's just one of those numbers you go, shit, man, he has been around a long time, huh? He and I are the same age. I know how my body feels. Sometimes I wake up and I'm sore. Man, he must be battling them stiffnesses. I know he's a pro athlete and I'm certainly not, but just the way she goes. So Corey Perry, tonight at home, maybe in the elimination game, I'm looking for a Corey Perry signature playoff moment, plus. Got some new line combos a little bit tonight. Top two lines staying the same. Henrique, McDavid, Hyman. That line has been electric. Looking for them to get something done. Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, Kane. They've all been really solid. I'd like to see them get a little bit more offense at 5-on-5, that trio, but I think they've got the juice to do it. Vander Kane's playing really, really well through the first four games. Nugent Hopkins got some points. Draisaitl just does what he does. The Holloway-McLeod-Perry line has been very, very good. Dylan Holloway, I was one of the people, fully admit I'm wrong, by the way, fully admit I'm wrong. I was like, I don't know that Dylan Holloway is going to play in the playoffs. I bet Nobby goes with a more veteran-laden lineup. Not even close. Dylan Holloway's playing so well, you can't pull him out of the lineup. Connor Brown hasn't got in yet. Happy to be wrong. Hollywood is playing some very good hockey. He's got all kinds of wheels, and man, I just love the way he's playing. Fourth line is Fogle, Ryan, Janmark. Sam Carrick is out again. I'm sorry, Jane, if you're hearing this somewhere. Our friendship is still as solid as it always will be. But unfortunately, Sam Carrick is not in the lineup tonight. Derek Ryan played well. He played just over 9 minutes in game four. Quiet, steady, very Derek Ryan type game. Looking for him to do another one of those here tonight. Looking ahead, though, the Oilers are not going to, this is not going to be easy. The Oilers aren't going to have an easy time getting through the Kings in game five just to walk through them. I would be really, really surprised. Now, did I bet on the puck line? We'll talk about that in the bets of the week for Bet365. But did I bet on the puck line? Yes. Do I think this is going to be a cakewalk? Absolutely not. I just don't. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult than some folks believe initially. And I think that that's going to be one of the things where the Oilers are going to have to be really careful with their puck possession and how they apply pressure and make sure that they're not trying to get too cute by half. Play simple. When they're playing simple, straightforward hockey, they are so much better than the Kings. It's not really close. But like I said, last night, Bruins, you blew it. Canucks, you blew it. I wonder with that one, too, because I was texting Quads before.
I don't want to talk about this. You're not going to talk about the Canucks game.
Why? Well, like, we were texting before. I was saying, I wonder if the Canucks' inexperience in the playoffs is going to factor into this game, because closing the series out, that fourth win is always the hardest one.
What did I just say? Big Dave doesn't want to talk about game five. Big Dave was excited. Big Dave was texting you about how loud it was in the first and second period. Then nobody scored. Nobody could score. And then Mark Spector is tweeting about how the Canucks can't get shots on net. And now Big Dave is very angry.
All right. I was just having a conversation with you. I think, like, ultimately, I think the Canucks are going to win that series. But last night, I think some of the inexperience showed on a team that hasn't really been in that spot for a long time.
What did I just tell you? What did Dave just say?
All right. You don't got to get all angry about it. Listen, the Canucks have to fly 4.5 hours across the country to go back to Nashville and hopefully win game six and just get it done there, right? Like, you got to imagine that's going to happen.
What did I just tell you? I was very confident that the Canucks were going to win last night, and they didn't. So maybe I shouldn't talk about what's going to happen in Game 6, because Big Dave is still angry. Big Dave went to bed way past his bedtime, and Big Dave is still salty on Wednesday.
That's playoff hockey, baby. That's playoff hockey. The other news that I wanted to touch on before we kind of move on here a little bit is Jay Woodcroft is going to be an assistant coach over at the World Championships for Team Canada. He was interviewed on the Kipper and Bourne show, or whatever that show's called, with Nick Kyprios and Jason Bourne, or Justin Bourne, I should say. Jason Bourne. I'm Jason Bourne. Would be a way better show if it was Nick Kyprios and Jason Bourne. They could just, like, Nick Kyprios could tell old Ward stories of when he got knocked out there at the end of his career, and Jason Bourne would just, like, kick everybody's ass in the studio. It'd be fantastic. You wouldn't even know he was there. Anyway, it was Justin Bourne. They asked him about the Oilers in the playoffs, and I quote, "I haven't watched much of the Edmonton Oilers since I was let go there in November. That was a choice I made. I've spent more time studying the league and studying trends that are occurring in the league. For me, I've spent a lot of time during these playoffs watching the Eastern Conference." So I don't blame him. It's like, the last thing you want to do is talk about how hot your ex is when she's looking all fit with her new man, you know? That's the last thing you want to do, and I don't blame Woody for it at all. The last thing I think Woody wants to do is sit there on TV and talk about how the Oilers are so much better without him. And that actually pains me to say. I still love Jay Woodcroft as a coach, and I still think he is going to get an opportunity to be an NHL coach here sooner than later. There's a lot of vacancies right now. Seattle just fired their coach. San Jose is looking for a coach. I imagine Toronto's going to fire their coach. There's going to be a bunch of people let go here, and I can absolutely think or feel in my gut that that Woody's going to go somewhere. And I think it's going to be this summer. I don't want it to be Toronto. I think you'd be better off in a fit with a team like Seattle. We'll see what happens, though. But no surprises to me that Jay Woodcroft not watching the Oilers, even though if you're watching the Eastern Conference, you're going to eventually watch them in the Stanley Cup Finals. Am I right? Am I right, everybody? Woohoo! And that's how we're going to end off the news. Star Mechanical. They work with the top local award-winning home builders on their new homes, and they work closely with the CHBA on events like Awards of Excellence in Housing. They don't have expensive rates, and they focus on being as cost-conscious for their customers as they possibly can. Their team of tradespeople are highly skilled and are accommodating for their customers. Visit them at starmechanical.ca to help them keep your home running smoothly.
Go buy an Alfa Romeo right now. Subscribe to the podcast and write a review or I will terminate you. And I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Buy a Alfa Romeo.
Bets of the Week presented by Bet365. Proud partner of Better Late Than Never. Open account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Use the promo code OILYBONUS today. That promo code again is OILYBONUS. You can sign up for a new account with Bet365. OILYBONUS, OILYBONUS, OILYBONUS. We're the Oily Boys and we've got the Oily Bonus. Tonight, I am looking ahead and I'm being a little simple. I'm not getting in the weeds tonight. Tonight, I'm all business. Tonight, all I care about is securing victory and manifesting the win. So what am I doing? I'm looking at the Oilers puck line. That is them to win by at least 2 goals. It is Oilers at minus 1.5 at plus 125. That would double my money and give me a little bit extra. I'm also betting on the Oilers to win more periods. So they would have to win, you know, 2 of 3. Makes sense, right? That's almost that's at minus 105. That's essentially even money. I'm going very standard tonight on the Edmonton Oilers. I feel like putting my best wishes out into the universe is exactly what is going to help me be successful at Bet365. I'm using the Oily Bonus promo code and I'm just going to keep it casual. Tonight, it is all business. I am not getting in the weeds. I am strictly focused. Looking ahead at some of the futures, though, currently at Bet365, Edmonton is tied with Carolina at plus 400 favorites to win the whole danged thing. And does that get me excited? It does get me excited to know that Edmonton is ranked right up there with some of the favorites from the East. It is hard not to love the way that they're playing right now. Again, open an account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365 when you use the promo code Oily Bonus.
You're already listening to Better Late Than Never. Why don't you tell a friend, a human, a family member? Yes. Even if you run a hotel. Manuel! Here we go. Yes. Leave a review. Yes.
You want to see a man, boy? I'll show you a man.
For Trilogy Oilfield Rentals, it is time for the righteous sack beating. Of course, Trilogy Oilfield Rentals are an established provider of tools and expertise across multiple oil field disciplines, specializing in rentals, pipe recovery, abandonments, and completions. Currently, they maintain full-time operating units in Provost, Weyburn, and Kindersley. You want to know what kind of tools they have? I am here to tell you.
Rental tools, fishing tools, coil tools, drilling tools, mills and bits, completion tools, any tool for any job. Pugh, I stuttered there. I want to do it again. My righteous sack beating is me because I can't read. Rental tools, fishing tools, coil tools, drilling tools, mills and bits, completion tools, any tools for any job, trilogyrentals.ca.
All right. First righteous sack beating is me for not being able to read. Second righteous sack beating is, listen, I know the playoffs are intense, and this isn't so much me being upset as me just kind of reminding everyone that positive vibes are going to go a long way. I think of Stuart Skinner. In game 2... He admitted himself. Go find the clip on TNT where Biz asked him, what do you think about that game? Or I guess it was after game four. He was interviewed by TNT after game four, after the shutout. And Biz asked him, was that kind of like, I got you, boys, I'm paying you back? And he kind of said so. He goes, listen, I wasn't thinking about it during the game. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I wasn't thinking about it during the game, but once it finally ended, I kind of thought, all right, I'm happy that the boys got a good win out of me, especially after the way game two went, because he just could have played better. I love the kind of accountability from our goaltender like that. Stuart Skinner has got a great personality to be a goaltender. He's calm. He's collected. He can let things go. He's very aware of himself. He's able to accept a responsibility that's accountable. You love that from your goalie. But after game two, you pop into the comments on some of our shows or some of the live shows or the post-game show. There weren't many people that were in Stuart Skinner's corner. And that's one thing. It's one thing to be upset. And I totally get it, in fact. But it's another to not admit you're wrong when he goes up and shoves it up the backside of his critics, shout out Robin Brownlee, the way he did in game three and game four. If you look at those two games against LA, Stuart Skinner was fantastic. I know the Oilers scored six goals on Friday in game three, but it's not like Stuart Skinner didn't have anything to do. In fact, he had plenty to do. The Kings still fired 28 shots his way. I know the Oilers fired 40 on Tam Talbot. I know that. But 28 saves is still plenty. He only allowed one goal. And then we all know that on Sunday in game four, he shut them out. So what is the math on that? Is that 61 shots and he only allowed one goal? Is that my math correct there? Somebody do that for me. I think it is. I got a whiteboard in front of me. You want me to hear me do some math? All right, I will. So 28 plus 33, that one would be that one. You carry that one over there. That is 61 shots minus one goal against. That is 60. And you can see how I got the math there. So 61 shots, one goal against. How does it get better than that? As a result, Stuart Skinner elevated his sub 900 save percentages with those two performances to a 919 with a 248 goals against. That is some fantastic numbers. Those are numbers you want from your goalie in the playoffs. Where the righteous sack beating comes in, however, is to those who can admit when they're wrong. Listen, we all have biases towards players. I've loved Ryan Nugent-Hopkins since the day he was born. He didn't even know he was going to be an Oiler, and there I was, checking his crib, making sure he was fine. I didn't do that. But I think it's only fair when you're going to be critical of a player or when you're going to love a player to also be open to the other side of the argument. With Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I would love him to score another goal. We need him to score goals. He had 3 points in game four, or game three, I should say. 3 points in game three, and that was fantastic. Love to see that. That was a sneaky, quiet effort by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins that I was super pumped on him for. However, we need a couple more goals. He's got the one goal that he got in game one. Hasn't got one since. I'd love another one here tonight at Rogers Place. Really get the crowd into it. Really put the Kings out of it. The point I'm getting at is I think it's time we got to be a little bit more objective with our analysis. And that goes myself included. I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it, but sometimes when the people who are saying that Stuart Skinner can't play at all and that the Oilers should start Calvin Pickard, when he goes and starts a game or two games like he has the last two, come on, walk it back. Don't pretend like you're still right, because you're not. You're not right. The goalie just stood on his head two games in a row, and he secured two wins that you expect a fantastic starter to do. And if you can't admit you're wrong, then your feedback doesn't really mean much, does it? I'm wrong all the time. I'm wrong about countless people. I admitted that I was wrong, that I didn't think Dylan Holloway was going to play in the playoffs because I thought Nobby was going to go for a more veteran laden lineup. What does he do? He steals a spot. Now Connor Brown couldn't get in to save his life. I was wrong. Why can't you admit it? Why can't you admit when you were wrong? Why can't you look at what Stuart Skinner did on games three and four and say, I was wrong? There was a lot of people talking about Evander Kane. They were like, oh, he can't do anything. He was terrible down the stretch. How about through the first four games? I thought Evander Kane's been fantastic. It's fine to admit you're wrong as long as you're balanced. And I think that for a lot of us, myself included, we can do a better job of that. So the collective we we can just be better at just being more balanced with our team. We're a passionate bunch, and that's what makes everything about Edmonton Oilers fans as great as we are. We're passionate. We're knowledgeable. We know the game. We love the team. But sometimes, it's all right to be wrong.
You want to see a man, boy? I'll show you a man. Kick me in the jimmy.
You're listening to BBC Radio Bagged Milk. Absolutely fantastic. Yes.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The voicemail is brought to you by Duregard Fence. If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company in Alberta that can do it all, count on Duregard Fence Limited. For 37 years, they have been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself options. The most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment here in Alberta, Duregard Fence is your one-stop shop for over 37 years for chain link, wood, vinyl, ornamental fencing. For more information and to request a quote, go to DuraGuardFence.ca. Getting into the voicemail. Surprise, surprise. The export didn't work again. So I'm looking at all my voicemails. They're all in order. I can see that they're all in order based on the dates. But did your names import? No. No, they didn't. You would think they would, given that you took the time to put your name into the service and I took the time to download it the way they tell me to. But we're flying blind here, people. We are flying blind, so let's get to the first voicemail. We shall see what happens.
Yo, Big Milk. So last week in the voicemail, I bitched about Jack Michaels, and you asked me who my favorite commentator of all time was. And, well, I'll be honest. So I'll give you my list here. My favorite all-time play-by-play guy is Al Michaels.
Ooh, I like that.
And sure. I know he does NFL games, but Al Michaels, I just think.
Yeah, Al Michaels still counts, of course.
He's the best commentator out there. In hockey, I think Chris Cuthbert. Chris Cuthbert would have to be my favorite.
That's a good one.
I know that's probably a basic ass answer, but
I don't think so.
I just think Chris Cuthbert's the best in the business. And
it's like when Bob Cole passed away. Rest in peace, Bob Cole. Growing up, because Nick, I know you're a younger guy than me. Growing up, to me, Bob Cole was the voice of Saturday night. I think of a couple of those great calls that he had, especially in the Oilers Cup run in 2006. I think of the one from 1997 in overtime where it was, Satan, do the honors.
Of course I will. Marchand scores!
That was the OT winner. You know, when he flew past Grant Ledyard. You know, there was the Pisani OT winner in game six in 2006. That was a great one. Bob Cole is one of the greatest of all time. If you haven't heard it, go listen to John Cooper, the coach from the Tampa Bay Lightning, his little spiel about Bob Cole and what he meant to all of us. So if you're a younger guy and you grew up with Chris Cuthbert, that's fine to me. Chris Cuthbert's great at what he does. He's really, really good at what he does.
Mad Leaf fans get him for as many games as they do because they don't deserve Chris Cuthbert at all. They deserve Jack Michaels.
How dare you?
Just kidding, Leaf fans. don't deserve shit. And then I realized in my last voicemail, I may have been a bit harsh to Stu. So, Stu, I am sorry. However, I still think...
There you go. I was just talking about this in the Righteous Sack Beating, Nick. Admit you're wrong when you're wrong. That's all I ask. That's what Nick's doing. Good for you, buddy.
My point stands in that, Stu, buddy, you got to nut up and you got to make a save for your team. Sure, not all of them are your fault. But look at the Florida game. Look at what Bobrovsky did in that. If we're going to win, you're going to have to make some saves. When you shouldn't be making saves. And you're just not. An 808 save percentage ain't going to fucking cut it, man. It ain't going to cut it.
I thought I was giving you credit. Oh, Nick. What day did this come in? Hang on. Let me see what Nick's talking about. Thursday. So that would have been after game two. You know what? Sometimes when the voicemails come in all clusterfucked like they are, magic happens. Shout out to Nick. That aged poorly. That aged very poorly, Nick. We'll see if I find you later. Woohoo!
Hey, BM.
What's going on?
Yeah, my bad. Sorry. I guess you obviously couldn't play a company name.
Oh, it was Petty Chad. Yeah, so Petty Chad last week, if you missed it, he was talking about somebody who cut him off in traffic or something. I don't remember exactly. He wanted to shit on the company. I was like, well, I can't do that. Come on, Petty Chad.
On a network podcast. My bad. I was fired up.
I know you.
Anyway, it's the day after the first and hopefully only loss to the Kings. I found that the first game, LA's goals were really fluky. Mm-hmm. Last night, I feel like their goals were lucky, but also skilled. I guess that's implied. Like that tip, I think it might have been off of one of our sticks, and then the bat out of the air. Like, are you kidding me? That goes in.
Yeah, totally. There was so that was the Kempe goal. They batted out of midair. Even the OT goal in game two was pretty random and lucky. Byfield on the boards got a stick on it, went right to Kopitar. I bet he couldn't do that again if he tried. If you give him another try, that's not happening again.
Stupid. And then yeah, the game winning goal, like that's a laser beam, like that you just put that right in that spot. Anyways, lots of hockey left. I believe it just sucks losing when you think you're going to go up. When you think it's easy street, and then it's not. Anyways, lastly, oh, I could watch that Dano get blown up all day.
That hit by Hyman on Dano was magic. I'm surprised Dano didn't have to leave the game for concussion protocol because Hyman absolutely rocked him. Great hit.
I had those Google glasses, whatever, that you can put stuff on in the background. I would watch that on repeat all day. Just as I'm working, I would just have that in a little corner all day. Just watch him. Boom! Oh, he got rocked. I love to see that. Anyways, go Oil.
So, looking forward to hearing from Petty Chad after the last two games, because I think that was a more reasonable approach. There were some lucky goals in game two. You know, Stu said he could be better, and he was. And he was. I'm also looking forward to hearing if we hear back from Nick. We are working through the DuraGuard Fence Limited voicemail. Next caller, you probably weren't anonymous, but you are to me.
Fuck you, Skinner. Come on. Like, man, it's 11:20 at night right now.
Let's see where this goes. Oh, Nick, you're unhinged.
I'd be up early in the morning for work. I am so pissed off about the end of that hockey, at the end of game two. There's no way in hell I'm going to be able to sleep for a while. Hence why I'm leaving you a voicemail. I know it's a moot point because next Wednesday you record, might as well be a different fucking season.
The funny thing is, Nick's, I don't remember exactly what you're going to school for, but it's something with like neuroscience, isn't it? So you're obviously a smart dude. And even here in the first 29 seconds of the voicemail, you say, listen, by the time you play this next Wednesday, we're probably going to be having a different series. And that's really where we're at.
But I don't have any friends to talk to, and I need to vent, so I'm here.
All right.
If the Oilers get any sort of goaltending, they wallop the Kings. They beat them.
That is true in game two. I agree with that.
But no. Skinner. Fucking fuck you, Skinner. Now, is it all Skinner's fault? No, it's not. But man, you gotta make a fucking save. You gotta make a fucking save, man. Did you use up all your saves in game one? Like, what's going on here? You know how I measure how nervous I am in a game? I call it the clench index. It's how tight my asshole is clenched. My asshole was clenched so tight you couldn't get a fucking pin through it.
You should have seen me in game four, bro.
Whenever the Oilers were in their own zone, because I had no faith in Skinner. Let's be realistic. If Jack Campbell put up that performance that we just saw from Stuart Skinner in game two, he'd be fucking executed. He would be lynched and hung from a tree somewhere. Like, it's Pickard game two, please, dear God.
Oh boy, in terms of voicemails aging poorly. In terms of voicemails aging poorly, I don't know about Nick, that's fantastic. Let me see here. Now I understand why Nick sent me a DM on Instagram. Let me see if I can find it here. Let me see if I can find it here. Nick, where are you? Yo, Bag Milk, I left a voicemail after game two, absolutely ripping Skinner. You may want to skip over that one on BLTN. Now I know why he sent that Sunday night after the shutout. my sweet Nick. That's so good. That is so good. And you know what? I'm going to leave that voicemail in this podcast as a lesson to you. Don't throw in the towel too early. Playoffs are never easy. Nobody has ever gone to the Stanley Cup and won that glorious prize with smooth sailing through all 16 wins. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. 2017, I remember they played the Sharks in San Jose, got blown up. They came back and won the series. You know? 2006, they had games where they were less than stellar. So my boy Nick, I'm just asking you, just be patient, my boy. When they lose, on to the next one. When they win, it's on to the next one. And we can do the big debrief afterward. When all is said and done. But here's what I would say. If Calvin Pickard is starting in net, something really bad happened. And it's not Stuart Skinner letting in five goals or whatever it was in game two. No. He's unable to go. He's unable to go. So let's just ride together, Nick. Ride with his buddy. It's positive Wednesday. Join us in the land of positivity and wonder because the playoff run, they're fun. But they're also stressful.
So I'm driving home from the watch party, the away watch party, and all I got to say is the Oilers have the best fans in the league.
Amen.
You can't tell me otherwise. There ain't no other team that's selling out an arena when a team's not even playing there and two watch parties outside. And that doesn't even count all the other watch parties going on at other restaurants and stuff. Like, nobody doing it like the Oil, baby. Let's go, Oilers. It's unbelievable.
Love that. If you are down to join us for away games, we are doing watch parties at Greta downtown. Join us to watch the games at Greta downtown. If you want, we'd love to hang out. Challenge me to the football game that Waz can't play. Why not? Join us at Greta for the away games. We will be there every away game during the playoffs. Obviously at home tonight, if you're going to the Moss Pit, be safe. Take care of each other. You know, I can get spicy out there, but be safe. Oilers fans are the best. How are those in Rogers Place viewing parties, by the way? I've never gone to one before. I've always been curious. I like that they have the digital markers on the ice. I saw that where like the actual play is happening. I think that's super cool. But leave me another voicemail. I'd be curious to know how those go. I'd really, really know. Like to know.
Oilers win.
Let's go, Ben.
La Bamba, baby.
Let's go, Ben. Hang on, Ben. I'm going to push a button for you, buddy. Hang on. Here's my boy, Ben Stelter. Come on.
La Bamba, baby.
Of course, Ben. Of course. Back to the other Ben. What do you have to say, buddy?
Game three, and then pretty convincing fashion. Did do pretty good. This is the afternoon after.
So Saturday afternoon.
I'm still reeling from the effects from last night.
Amen, buddy.
I get to stay up and watch the full game. The full playoff.
That's just good parenting. That's smart parenting. You know, if you need an unlicensed doctor's note so you don't have to go to school or work, you just reach out to Bag Milk.
Games, like all of them, which is great. Except when they're on weekdays and I have to get up at like 6:30 in the morning.
That's life though, Ben. That's life in the playoffs, buddy. You go home late, you stay up late, you get up early and you handle your business like a man. That's what you're doing, so I respect it. Currently, as I'm recording, it is a 0-0 game between the Golden Knights and Dallas in Game 5. I want this one to go 7. I hope they both just, like, chop each other's legs off or something. Anyway, back to you, Ben.
To get ready for school. But I love it anyway, and I would not change that. So, in my opinion, I felt this coming. The Oilers have outplayed them every single game in the series.
Agreed.
The only reason we didn't do good, in my opinion, in game two was Skinner was not great, and Talbot was crazy.
He made that one save on Drysdale right near the side of the net. If he had allowed that goal, it probably would have just... It would have been over, probably, I imagine. But yeah, you got to give Tam Talbot credit for coming up with timely saves at the right moment, at least in game two.
But yeah, I didn't exactly see this coming. I was expecting a win. I thought we would win by a couple of goals, but this is amazing.
So I was sitting in the arena in game three, and like I said earlier, by the time it was 5-1 and then eventually 6-1, Kings fans were all gone. It felt like I was just celebrating in an empty arena with just the Oilers fans that were left. And it was magical. It was a great moment. We were all pointing at each other from across the, wherever they were sitting. You would find an Oilers fan in a different section. You would point at them. You'd like air high fives. It was fantastic. It really, really was. It was just a great, great night at Crypto.com Arena on Friday.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In some scenarios, the Edmonton Oilers would be like, sexy, LA Kings. Bit ballhound. I love it. I totally love it. But, oh my God, there's a spike up the arse in the way. It's the Oilers. Someone's going to fuck up at the back, or something's going to happen. We're going to kill ourselves, or something's going to happen. Connor's going to get injured, or something's going to happen.
What?
And fucking hell, and diddly, and diddly, diddly, and I'm going into a loop, and diddly, 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 etc.
I don't like what you were saying earlier. Don't put that stuff out in the universe, Donkey Volley. Like, come on, man. This is Positive Wednesday. It's time to close. It's time tonight to close.
And relax. We're a good team. We aren't. We're a good team. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Fuck, 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 fuck. Come on. Come on, Oilers. Jesus, this is too much stress. Too much stress. Let's go.
Let's go, Oilers. Don't listen to what Donkey Volley said earlier. Positive Friday. Bring the good vibes with you wherever you're watching the game. If you're superstitious, make sure you're wearing the same clothes. If you're not, help a superstitious fan out and ask, hey, what can I do to help your weird OCD? It's not weird. I'm into it. I'm super into it. Next voicemail in the DuraGuard offense, a limited voicemail.
Because we've got Dukes, the captain, and Donkey. It's amazing what a Phil can do. Yeah, anyway.
If anyone has any idea for a bumper, I mean, I've done Pet Shop Boys. Obviously, why won't he kiss me? Ding, 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 ding. That was difficult because it went nowhere. If anyone's got any idea, he says, burping. Ouch. Give me a shout. Better late than never. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
I love that guy. Do I know what he's talking about ever? No. Sometimes there's four kinds of meats. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes he's pitching podcasts that aren't even my own. And I'm okay with it because I love that guy. Go follow Donkey Volley. Donkey Volley, I feel like you're due to plug your own socials here in a minute, or at least at some point, because you haven't done that in a while, and I feel like you deserve more followers than you currently have. Thank you. Moving on to the next anonymous whatever. I assume this is another Donkey Volley based on the length of the message, but we shall see. Am I correct?
Tyler, why won't he kiss me? Yes, it's the donkey. It is me, but I hate my voice without a filter. And I can do good old country music, boy, but it's got to be a filter. I could do requests if you want. Rawr. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to Gangabong Dankadoodle.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I assume this is Donkey Volley as well. Should I play it? The Durgard Fence Limited voicemail, should I play it? Of course I will.
Good afternoon. This is the donkey. From last week's podcast, I would like to disassociate myself. From Mr. Dukes, who talks about, self-flagellation. And with Ben, that's fine. Each to their own. I've got to say, I have only ever self-pleasured to my own voice. Good afternoon. You're listening to Desolate.
Person turned on by voices. Is that like a thing? Oralism. A-U-R-A-L-I-S-M. Oralism. If the voice turns you on, that's what it is. Oralism. So Donkey Volley is an oralist for himself, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we're working through the Duragard Fence Limited voicemail. See what we got.
Okay, BM. It is just after game four. And
Oh my God. Ah, Nick, I'm so excited that you're back. I'm going to guess what this voicemail is going to be before I listen to it. Of course, you know, the bit is on the voicemail. I don't listen to these until they go. What is the bit here on the podcast in the voicemail from Nick? One, I'm going to say he's going to apologize to Stuart Skinner. He is going to say, did you play that voicemail? Because he DM'd me and I was kind of drunk when I got it and I didn't answer him and I completely forgot. So yes, I'm going to play it. Three, he's still going to come up with something why Stuart Skinner's no bueno, which leads into my righteous sack beating. You just got to admit you're wrong. Nick, you've been very confusing so far through three voicemails, but we're going to guess what you've got here for round number three. Let's see.
You know what? Stuart Skinner, I am so sorry.
There you go. There you go, Nick. One thing, we're going to check that off. We're going to give you a round of applause. It's not easy to admit you're wrong. But then, just so you know, I've got to handle you now, right? So you deserve this one. Let me see here. I'm going to boo you first. And then I'm going to load my gun, and then we're going to handle it. There. I feel like that is an appropriate punishment for Nick. He's been shot several times. He's been booed publicly. And now back to you.
For absolutely ripping you to fucking pieces. I am incredibly sorry for ripping you to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That was not cool of me. I am wearing that L like a fucking champ.
That's accountability, Nick. Accountability and admitting you're wrong will take you a long way in life. Promise.
Because you know what? We're up 3-1, baby. And that's all on the Stew. That is all on him. So, Stu, I am incredibly sorry
there you go.
For saying those things I said about you.
Mm-hmm.
I was very emotional.
Yes.
It was a late night.
Mm-hmm.
The game went to overtime. I think that's why I was pissed off. The game went to overtime. And I had to be up early the next morning. And I was just pissed off that the game went to overtime. So, Stu, I'm really sorry. And then, BM, I want to ask you,
yes.
I just can't even fathom this. You guys are talking about you in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and this pour-your-own-beer place.
Yeah.
No, I just can't even, like, understand that. Can you explain, like, how that works? Like, how do you pay for your beer?
Sure.
Like, how does the whole pour-your-own-beer thing work? Thank you. Go Oilers. Stu, I am very sorry.
See, there you go, Nick. I was completely wrong. I thought he was going to find a way to still say that. Stu is not his favorite, but he did not do that. So I was wrong there. Nick, accountable to each other. How it works is, I kind of ran through it briefly, but essentially you go to, you know, a server or whatever, and you give them your credit card to start a tab. So they swipe it and they go, is this good? Yep. And then they give you essentially what looks like a Greta playing card, if you're feeling me. So they give you one of these cards and you walk over to the wall of beer taps. And once you find a beer that you like, you tap the card that you purchased off them with that card that is tied to your credit card. And then it, by the ounce, you get charged. So if you just have a sample of one, you're like, ooh, that was nice. I'll have like another little sippy of that. And you move forward. It totally weighs by ounces. So to answer the question, you drink what you like, you have a couple of pops, you try a couple of different things. It's all measured by volume. So when you go back to give them the card back, they go, all right, let's clear you up. You had this many ounces of beer. It costs you this. Away you go. Easy. We're in the future, brother. We are in the future. Next voicemail for the DuraGuard Offense Limited voicemail.
Okay. Okay, get close.
Yeah.
Currently in a hotel in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on a bit.
Ari, hello. I love Kuala Lumpur, first of all. I feel like you're very, very lucky to be there. Go to Chinatown. There's some amazing curries in Chinatown, and there's some really cool, like, markets down there if you're into kind of bartering and shopping. I got some hilarious, I got a a pair of fake Beats headphones that looked real from there. And I think I paid like $15 from them. I got a fake pair of DC shoes from that market in Chinatown, or one of the markets, I should say. And it's just fun. Yeah, go hang out in Chinatown. There's some really good street food if you're into that. Love Kuala Lumpur.
Jason, how do you like the food?
It's good.
It's good?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Nasi goreng.
Whatever this is. It's some kind of rice dish.
Yeah, checking in from Kuala Lumpur. There's Ari. There is Ari. I've got another short message here. Anonymous, what say you?
Okay, I'm with my sister.
Hello.
Do you know who Ryan Nugent Hopkins is?
No.
Okay, but say Nuge is the best.
What?
Say that Nuge is the best.
What is the best?
Nuge, Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
He's the best.
He's the best?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I'll take it. Hey, will you leave a voicemail with me on some random dude's podcast that you have no idea who it is and you're wondering what the fuck's going on? Makes sense. It makes sense. Last voicemail of the week in the DuraGuard Offense Limited voicemail. Hello, random person.
Hey, BM. So, the Oilers are set to beat the Kings tonight.
Job's not finished. Need a mature game. Need a great effort. I'm not counting my chickens, nor is my cart before my horse.
Probably. I have faith. But I just thought I'd jump in for my shameless plug. Maybe I'll give updates every week on how things are going. But again, I'm doing the Million Reasons run. Raise money for the story. Today's day one. As of right now, with the donations I've received, I am obligated to run about 30K.
Oh my God.
of course, for every $20 in donations I get, I'm going to run a kilometer. I'm hoping to raise about 2,000, which is making me run about 100K this month. So if anybody would like to donate again, You can just find me on Twitter at Kyle the Embalmer. I have my page posted, pinned at the top, so anybody can go there. There has been a couple donations already from Neil Melkers, which, of course, I'm grateful for, and I'd love to see some more. So other than that, let's go Oilers. Let's beat the Kings tonight and get ready to probably go against Vancouver and then go on to the finals for the West. Other than that, go Oilers.
If you want to donate to Kyle's raising money for the Stollery, I'm looking at his donation page right now. We still got some work to do. Got to get to that $2,000 goal. Go to my Twitter. I just retweeted it from my personal feed. So that's JSBM Bag Milk. I retweeted Kyle's account, and I will be donating I will be making a donation here as soon as we wrap. So if you want to go donate to Kyle, I encourage you to do so. And if you want to chime in on the voicemail, check the link in my bio. For more information and to request a quote on a fence, no matter whether you want to do it yourself, if you need a kit, if you want them to come do it for you, DuraGuard Fence is the place to be, and DuraGuardFence.ca is where you can get a quote and more information for all of your needs to make sure that your property is staying safe and your fences are staying up. Finally, to wrap up the podcast, I asked you guys on Twitter for some keys to victory, and I just want to read a bunch of these out before we say goodbye, and then that's what we're going to end off the podcast with. Keys to victory to close out the series in Game 5. Tyler Remchuk says, score like 4 power play goals. That'd be fun. Jordan says, score first. D. Smith says, killer instinct. Bring a sense of urgency. Championship teams don't drag stuff out when they could be resting for the next one. FIFA Las Vegas says, score early and keep the pressure on. Harry says, score first. Scott says, intimidate them with the start and the crowd's energy. Play fast, play connected. They do this and they'll win the game and the series. Darren says, keep your composure. Don't let the Kings get under your skin and take retaliatory penalties. They've done a fantastic job so far. Just keep it going. Fighting Amish says, first goal est muy importante. Orange and blue in my veins. Gary says, start the game strong, fast, and collapse in front of the Skinner, giving the Kings perimeter shots only. Jamie says, score more goals than LA. That is true. If you do that, they will win. Witty Pun Cozy says, I know this is going to sound crazy, but score one more goal than they do. Shroom Sauce says, score the first goal. Yes, they can absolutely win if they don't, but we're trying to induce that here we go again feeling. We want them thinking about how an early 18 on the links in LA is a lot more fun than playing against the Edmonton Oilers. Christopher Palmer says, key to victory is simple. Get out ahead quick and stay on their throats. Farm Nerd says, go to work and get the job done. You have all the tools you need and how to use them. Get out and crush their spirit. Score first, hit hard, play with speed, and get that dub. I Asama says, keep doing what you're doing. Score first. It will deflate them. Wade says, score first, score often, score more. Cedric says, don't get completely smoked at 5-on-5. The series over. Joe says, Skinner. Daryl says, pain. I say a 4-2 win's coming. Enjoy the game, everybody, tonight. Let's hope that I got an emergency podcast to do tomorrow because the Oilers are going to the second round. Job's not done. Let's put all our positive energy into the universe, everybody. Talk to you later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.